Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Walk Your Talk with Leanne here on Life Coach Radio Networks. I am so privileged that you have chosen to spend your Thursday afternoon with us here on Life Coach Radio Networks. I am one of over 30 coaches here on Life Coach Radio Network who come before you each and every day with shows to inspire, challenge, and encourage you on this journey called life. I am Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk coach at Legacy Now Live, and my passion and my desires are definitely within the tapestry of adoption. I just love to learn and empower, educate, and inspire those who have been impacted by adoption. I kind of look at myself as a team builder within the tapestry of adoption, and I really try to bring together the unique threads within the tapestry who are kind of tired of living in the adoption closet and hiding our authentic selves. And together, as we learn and grow together, we can discover and change the way we do and view adoption so that dignity, conscious choice, and connection are woven together with honor, grace, and truth into the tapestry. And we can really start creating a legacy today and live it that we want to leave for the generations to come after us. And, you know, I'm all about that, living the legacy today you want to leave for tomorrow. And I really do comb the internet, talk with many people throughout this world about their stories to help them unleash the power in their stories and really embrace them full out. And, you know, I have the privilege of working with and sharing with so many beautiful people in this world who are really walking their talk and living a life of integrity and making a difference in this world. And I am joined by one such woman today, and I'm very, very excited to bring this topic of a search angel to my radio programming for our listeners here on Life Coach Radio Network. I am joined today by Priscilla Stone Sharp. And she is an amazing woman that I have come to know via the beautiful world of the internet. And Priscilla is a professional genealogist, author, and biographer. She's also an active adoptee rights advocate, and she advocates for the rights of adult adoptees to access their own original birth certificate, as we are all searching for that fundamental right to our identity and civil rights to equal treatment under the law. And Priscilla is also a mother who surrendered her daughter to adoption in 1964 in Arizona and has been reunited with her in 1986. She devotes much of her time to her work as a search angel and has reunited hundreds of individuals who have been separated from relatives by adoption. And she does this, ladies and gentlemen, free of charge. And so welcome, Priscilla, to Walk Your Talk with Leanne here on this beautiful July 3rd, 2014.
Thank you, Leanne. It's a pleasure to be here, except here in central Pennsylvania, it's a downpour right now. But it's still a lovely day.
Wow. Well, and here, you know, it's so fun that we can connect our studios together via the miles. And I am here in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and we are under cloudy skies. And typically this week, Priscilla, we are experiencing a lot of fires in our area. And we would love more of a downpour. We got a little bit last night, for which I'm very grateful for, but we sure need a tremendous amount more moisture in our area to put out some fires that are burning near us. You know, just this week, Priscilla, we actually, 3 years ago this week, had to evacuate our town due to fires and heavy smoke. And so I'm grateful to be able to look out and see the mountains this morning here in New Mexico. And, you know, I'm grateful for the rain that you guys are experiencing there, because we need the sunshine and we need the rain in our lives, whether it be figuratively or metaphorically.
Most certainly, but if you hear a sudden clap and I disappear, I'll try to get back to you as soon as I can.
Perfect, and I will hold down the fort until you join us again. You know, Priscilla, it is July the 3rd, and we're heading into Independence Day. And, you know, as I was thinking about our time together today, I was really struck by how much freedom searching and finding our identities to the true depths of what they are really does bring a tremendous amount of independence and freedom into our lives. And I would love to talk more about that here in just a moment. But to kind of kick us off, I want to share one of my favorite quotes, if I could, just in honor of those who have served to protect our freedom and to grant us the independence that we so appreciate as we live here in the United States. And that quote is from our former President Ronald Reagan, and he said, "Freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same." And I just get chill bumps, Priscilla, as I'm reading that quote and thinking about our time together today as we talk about your life's work and mission here on Walk Your Talk with Leanne. And before we dive into the big question that we want to answer for our listeners today about what is a search angel, I want to offer up a phone number for our listeners. If anybody desires to call in and share a question, thought, or a comment with Priscilla or myself, Leanne, I want to invite you to call in to 646-716-9397, and you can tune in. I can bring you into our studio. So, Priscilla, again, welcome, and thank you for sharing your afternoon with me here. And I would love it if you could answer and dispel some of the mystery surrounding this topic about what is a search angel.
Well, I'd be happy to. And as a matter of fact, you'd be surprised to learn that for 30, 40 years or more, there have been hundreds of search angels all over the country. They're not celebrated and certainly not as well known as the very expensive paid searchers, but they have reunited hundreds of thousands of people. And it's this passion, and you're so correct when you say that with the July 4th, and it's liberating. It is absolutely liberating for people who have been kept their whole lives under the cloak of darkness and secrecy and lies to be liberated, to come out of this darkness and see, to know their identity, their family history, their heritage, and the identity of those to whom they are blood related. I honestly can't imagine being an adoptee and having to date and look for a future mate, wondering if you're dating your own sibling or your own cousin. How cruel is that, that society forces adoptees to live like that? And not to mention the medical information, the critical medical information so important for them and future generations. So that's why I do what I do. The passion that I have is born out of my love of genealogy and my appreciation for family history and heritage. And I don't want anyone to be deprived of that because of man-made limitations.
I love that, Priscilla. And, you know, as an adoptee myself, I actually did really have a strong desire to always find my identifying information, to find my first family. It was a huge desire in mine from, you know, as far back as I can remember. I really don't remember a moment that I wasn't very curious and didn't have a strong desire to make that connection. And about 24 years ago, I set off on my journey to find my information, and that was prior to the internet, and that was prior to that real ease of finding out information with a click of your mouse.
Yes.
And, you know, I did elicit, right, the help of a search angel back in that time, and so please share with us your definition of a search angel.
Well, a search angel is someone who will help you at no charge find your information, find your family, help you. I walk on this path of life with you, on this journey of self-discovery for as long as you need me. And I will perform, I will do whatever you need me to do. I will search and look for you, or I will point you in the right direction so you can search for yourself. And that's one of the important things that I always try to maintain, that this search is your search. It should always be in your control. And we have to guard against taking over someone's life. So that's one of the most important ethics that I need to address, too.
Right, and yeah, I would love to talk more about the ethics here in just a moment of what it really means to be a search angel. And, you know, you shared something that I thought was really beautiful when you shared, you know, it helps, you help people on their journey and you walk with them to help them to discover all of this information. And, you know, as I was visiting your website, I was really taken, and your Facebook page, I was really taken by you not only work with people who have lost loved ones due to adoption, but you also help with people who have lost people in their lives due to foster care, divorce, or alienation.
Yes.
And so, right, to help find their information and reconnect, if everybody so chooses. Some people, I imagine, Priscilla, just wants the medical or some identifying information, and then other people have a strong desire for actual physical connection.
That's right. Yeah, and whether they want to contact or not is completely up to them. That's one of the reasons I do not approve of CIs, confidential intermediaries. There are at least two states, that have required CI programs for adoptees, and I abhor them. It's none of the government's business and to interfere in the personal lives of people who are blood related. So I'm also fighting that bureaucracy, that mindset that the government needs to control adoptees and their contacts, their interpersonal relationships.
Right. Yeah, we need to keep Big Brother out of our family relationships. It's pretty important that, you know, we are able to walk in integrity and honor our values as we step into all of these relationships, whether they have been lost for some reason or they are, you know, really working on a rebuilding and restoration process. Mm-hmm. And I love that as a coach. That's a lot of the work that I do. You know, you and I are both very aware of the staggering statistics that there are between 6 and 7 million adult adoptees in America.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I break it down, Priscilla, that equates to 12 to 14 million adoptive and birth parents. And then you add on that the grandparents, aunts and uncles, siblings.
Yeah.
Right? There are millions of us that have been touched, and I like to call it by the tapestry of adoption. Right,
some people say torched by adoption, too. Yeah.
So, there you go. Or, you know, one other phrase that I like, or hijacked. You know, has my life been hijacked by that? And
yes.
I think that that's something, and that's a reason, right, while many people seek out a search angel. And so you've explained to us great about what a search angel is, that you really do seek to use your time, talents, and treasures on a daily basis to help those find out the missing information in their lives so that they are able to connect those dots, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
weave the threads into their tapestry, is how I like to put it, and really, you know, get a bigger picture of who they are and where they came from.
Well, I do that by using my particular skills, which is 30 years of genealogy, and my searching techniques that I've refined over the past 30 years, and also my membership in multiple public information databases. I need to make very clear, too, that everything we do is from public information databases. There is so much available online, as you said now. Over the past 10 years, it has just grown exponentially. Or we have high school yearbooks by the thousands. We have newspapers by the thousands. We have marriage records. We have death and obituaries and whatnot. So it's just a matter of using all of my techniques and my sources to help people narrow down and find their families.
Wow, and what a gift that you provide, because I know even when, over 20 years ago when I was searching, it was daunting. And this was prior to the internet, and I was sending letters and inquiries, posting ads in public newspapers, trying to gain some information. And that takes a tremendous amount of time and energy to do that. And, you know, one thing that I love about the search angels, such as you, is that you have these databases, you have the desire, the passion, and the skill level to really help us and come alongside us to, you know, really kind of help weed out the information we don't need to get and get to that core information that's so vital to each one of us. And, you know, I love that your expertise and your passions, you've been able to join those two together and really step into this service
to the community that is
so incredibly needed.
I joke that I'm a reunion junkie. I have no other vices. I don't smoke, drink, gamble, go shopping. I'm a reunion junkie. And, yes, I get up every morning just so excited for the day and what challenges are going to be presented. And what wonderful communications, like an email I got from Kelly this morning. We found her mother together on the phone on Monday afternoon based on DNA alone. That's all we had was a DNA match to a first cousin once removed. And I found her mother within 2 hours, and it's so exciting.
Wow.
I share that joy with her, and, you know, it's so invigorating and so joyful.
Yeah, I totally can hear that in your voice, and I wish I was just there, right in front of you right now to give you a big hug and celebrate with you, and I celebrate with Kelly, and, you know, that is such an exciting time, and, you know, DNA, all the testing has really changed the way our adoption community searches and finds out information in a tremendous way, and so, you know, I would love to chat more about that and the steps, you know, that somebody who is in a search position needs to go through. But before we do that, Priscilla, I would love it if you could share, because I hear in your voice and in your message a real level of integrity that you put forth in all of your searches and the communication that you have with each member of this adoption community. And I would love it if you could share with us, what are some of the code of ethics that you hold to as you walk through a search with somebody?
Well, the first one, as I said, is their search is in their, they are the masters of their ship, their journey. And so whatever I do, they need to be fully informed and fully agreeing to whatever I'm doing. I will never contact anyone except under the guise of doing a genealogy research. I had a case in Boston, for example, where I had two possible candidates for grandfather with the same name. And so I called the daughter of one of them, and I did my little genealogy thing. Oh, I'm working on the Jeremiah Green family in Boston and wondering if you could help me fill out the branches and leaves. And she was quite comfortable with that. And in about 5 minutes, she confirmed that that was the right family. But I never, ever, I did it once. I contacted a mother on behalf of an adoptee. And I'm sorry I did, because when you stop to think about it, imagine yourself as a mother who lost a child. I don't say relinquished. I don't say gave up. I say I lost. I lost this baby to adoption. And I know most of the mothers in my groups agree the same. We didn't have much choice. There were not too many options available to us with no homes, no money, no support. You know, we were even given lactation suppressants against our knowledge so that we couldn't even feed our babies. So you can imagine, put yourself in this position of a woman, you know, 45 years ago, having to lose her firstborn. And then all of a sudden, a total stranger, 45 years later, contacting her with obviously knowledge of the most intimate details of her life. I just think that's wrong. I think that is an invasion of her privacy, and so I always tell adoptees that you need to call your mother. You need to contact your mother. I'll help you do it. I will train you, or I will coach you on the best possible way to approach her, but you need to call your own mother. And the reason I do that is because, God forbid, she should reject me. And it's much easier, as you know, to hang up on a stranger as it is your own son or daughter. I would blame myself for the rest of my life. I would wonder if she would have rejected her son or daughter instead of me, you know. So that's one of my rules. And, of course, the biggest rules is that we do not charge. A search engine will never ask you for money, ever. And I always say that what we do is so valuable, it's priceless. And to actually put a dollar amount on it is to devalue it.
Right.
It brings it into the material realm and takes it away from the spiritual realm where it should be.
Right, because this is, you know, this is one of the most intimate journeys that we will ever walk. And those who are not, you know, intimately acquainted with adoption, you may not get it. And that's okay. Be curious and ask us some more. Because, you know, because we do have this place inside each one of us that has a strong desire for connection and to find these answers. And, you know, I think that's what I love about my show and bringing you on here, Priscilla, and hearing your heart and your integrity in this piece is, you know, we have a real privilege to educate and to really inform people about what this journey is like and about how intimate and how personal, and I like to use the word how sacred, it really is. Mm-hmm. And I love that code of ethics that you hold so fast to about really allowing the direct relationships to be into contact with each other without an intermediary. You know, I had that privilege, Priscilla, when I was using my search angel, you know, she called me with my information and, you know, said, it's up to you how you do this. And she did coach me, you know, back in the day when coaching wasn't a big profession like it is now. She coached me through about some of the questions to prepare myself for, to ask, and some of the responses that I may receive on the other end. And that was so incredibly helpful to know that I was not on that journey by myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I found a tremendous amount of confidence by working with a search angel when I did, you know, make that first phone call to my mom. It was very valuable. And so, you know, personally as an adoptee, I thank you for the work that you do. I hold all of you in such high regard and in deep appreciation and gratitude for not only the work that you do, but for the professionalism and the honor and dignity that you bring into our world.
Yeah, I joke sometimes that I tell adoptees that I'm your surrogate birth mother. I'm delivering you back to your birth family.
No, that's so sweet. That is so sweet. So, you know, we've touched on what a search angel is. We've touched on some of the code of ethics that are so incredibly important for a search angel to follow. I would love it if you could give us a peek into what are some of the code of ethics or steps that an adoptee or a mom or dad that is searching should take?
Well, I prefer to stick with adoptees because, of course, each case is different, and we can get off into the realm of what if too many. But for the typical adoptee who was placed, for example, perhaps in New York City in 1965 through an agency, perhaps Spence Chapin or Louise Wise or one of the other large agencies. I will encourage them to contact the agency and get what is called non-identifying information. And every adoptee, unfortunately, except for private adoptions, is entitled to a non-identifying information report, which will basically give everything that the agency knows about your birth, your family, except names, dates, and addresses. And then based on that, I can very often do a search or maybe try to get some more information somewhere else. In some states, they have birth indexes, and we might be able to find your birth name in these birth indexes. Other states have mutual consent registries, and so I always encourage adoptees to sign up on mutual consent registries. There's online registries, and of course, the biggest free registry in the world is the International Soundex Reunion Registry, and you can find them at ISRR.net. So basically, those are the steps that we follow, and the new, the exciting new world of DNA family matching. All of this, by the way, is on my website, and so if you missed some of it, you want to learn some more about it, just go to priscillasharp.org, PRISCILLASHARP.org. And feel free to email me. Contact me on Facebook. I have a Facebook page, too. So those are the steps that we take. Oh, and as I was saying, now, the exciting new world of DNA, we used to recommend DNA family matching for people who had particularly difficult cases or, for example, were private adoptions and didn't get any non-ID at all. But now we're recommending it for everyone across the board because the more people who test, the more and closer matches will be made, which makes it easier for all of us.
Right, and you're really able to have...
Basically what I do, and some cases I can solve, my record is 5 minutes.
Other
cases I've worked on for years and years and years, and so it just all depends. And honestly, sometimes I think that it's just when the time is right, when everything comes together in the moment, I'm being used really by otherworldly angels. That's the way I like to think of it. So I just have to keep my heart and my mind open for the inspiration.
I love that intuitive piece. And, you know, I'm a woman of faith, and I really believe that, you know, even in my own story, Priscilla, it was very interesting because it had been I was 25 years old when I found out all of my information and was able to make contact with my first family. And, you know, it was really, really cool because all of the different pieces of my story came together. And when I had called my search angel and gave her all the information, I had spent months gathering information. And when I had it all compiled, I called her with it when I was kind of at that stop point. I was at a block. I couldn't go any further with the information that I had and the resources that I was able to tap into. And, you know, within 24 hours, I had my information.
Wow.
And that moment that I got the call and received phone numbers and names and dates, it was chilling, exhilarating, scary, and
magical, empowering
all at the same time.
Yes, it is. And it's magical. It's one of those moments that you'll remember for the rest of your life.
Absolutely, and you get to provide that experience for so many. And if you had to, you know, just kind of throw a number out there, how many different people have you been able to help over the years?
Oh, well, I get 2 to 3 new requests a day. Some of those I can field very quickly. For example, if it's a Texas case, I would refer it to my dear friends, Mary Wilson and Connie Gray in Texas. If it's North Carolina, I refer it to a sister search angel there, for example. And some of them, they have their name, and it's just a matter of a couple of hours, and I can knock it out. So that's each day, so 2 to 3 new requests. It used to be 6, 7 years ago when I started doing this full-time, it used to be maybe 3 or 4 successful finds a month. Now I think we're knocking them out 3 or 4 a week, it seems.
And that's
in great part is due to the DNA. I'm making almost as many matches with DNA alone as through.
Wow.
Yeah, it's just wonderful. And that to me, that tells me that, you know, what God has joined together, this golden thread of child and parent, let no man put asunder, and now science is proving that there's just, it's unnatural to separate someone from at least the knowledge of their identity and ancestry.
Amen. You know, I love that, and I just, yeah, I really so appreciate you sharing that. And, you know, we're going to take just a brief moment here, and I'm going to give a little commercial plug for our radio network here on Life Coach Radio Network. And when we come back, Priscilla, I would love it if we could explore the little bit of the world of DNA testing, and you could educate each one of us a little bit more about steps that we can take.
Happy
to step into that DNA world and the benefits and challenges that come along with that. I would love to explore that with you here in just a moment. That would be fantastic. And I do want to thank you again for being here, each one of us, on Walk Your Talk with Leanne on Life Coach Radio Network. And you can find us on the web at lifecoachradionetwork.com. And we do have upcoming shows each and every day for you on one of 3 different networks. We have the Life Coach Chat Channel. We have International Life Coach Radio and what you are listening to me here today on the Life Coach Radio Network. And we do have shows each and every day to inspire, challenge, and encourage you. And I just really welcome you to tune in and listen to us. We are podcasted on iTunes, as well as you can find us on our individual websites. We have some upcoming shows here on Life Coach Radio Network. On the 6th of July at 9 p.m., you can join Coach Mark Shaw, and his show is called Mark My Words, and he's a life and business coach. And I invite you to tune in and listen to Mark. He always brings some provocative and interesting topics to our network. Also, on the 8th of July at 12 p.m., join Coach Jeff as he talks about fun to fortune in the world of an entrepreneur. And on the 17th of July, please join Danielle Mercurio as she has her show on the New You City Chat at 8 p.m. And so I also welcome you and invite you to tune into those shows. I will be on again on July the 31st. My schedule is kind of changing up a little bit this month due to some travel and some classes that I will be taking. But I will be joined, if all things continue to go as planned, on July the 31st. And I'm going to be joined that day by Mr. Brian Harden. And he is the founder, creator, and daily reader and CEO of the Daily Audio Bible. And he has, for many years, been reading the Bible online, live. And he does have recordings that you can archive. But he does the Daily Audio Bible every day, 365 days a year. He's been doing it for multiple years. And I will be interviewing him and find out what causes him to walk his talk every day. And I just really invite you to tune in on July the 31st as I interview Brian Harden. And so now I am back again here with Priscilla Sharp. And she is a search angel here within the world of adoption. And Priscilla, thank you for your patience as I did our little commercial for our radio network. You know, I love the whole life coach concept. I love that we get to come live every day. And my focus and desire for my show is to really highlight those who walk their talk. And I thank you for being a woman who walks in integrity in this area. And it's delightful to have you with me today.
I'm so happy to be here. Thank you.
You're welcome. And so let's dive in just a little bit, Priscilla, into this world of DNA. And, you know, I would love it if you could share with us more about the process, the steps that we need to take, and the different avenues that we can jump into. You know, when I did my search, golly, you know, over 20 years ago, I didn't do DNA. I did go to the ISRR. Website, and I did register there, and I do encourage the folks that I work with that that's a beautiful first step that they can take if they desire to find out more information. And this whole DNA piece is so incredibly new and exciting, and I have done my DNA testing with just one service so far, and you know, I'm very curious about stepping into the other realms and the other companies that offer DNA testing. Because like you had shared before our little break, the more people that test, the more information there is, the more accurate and rapid our connections can be.
Absolutely, yeah. There are three companies, basically, who offer the family matching or what they call sometimes family finder. And there's Ancestry.com. This is all on my website, too, so don't try to take notes, but go to my website and look for the exciting new world of family DNA family matching. So there's Ancestry.com, there's 23andMe.com, and there's FamilyTreeDNA.com. And each of these tests is about $100. Ancestry actually has it on sale for $80 through, I think, the 6th. And they are all non-invasive tests. They are use your spit or one company uses a cheek swab. You will gently swab the side of your mouth and put the applicator back in the envelope and send it back to the laboratory. You will be given your own page on each of these sites. I'm on all three. And you will be provided with your ethnic heritage, your background, your what they call the haplogroup. Your maternal haplogroup is where your mother's people came from 40,000 years ago. And you will also be, most importantly, put in this database and matched over centimorgans, what they call the measurement of DNA chromosomes, with relatives from close to distant cousins. And I have had adoptees. I had one adoptee who was matched with an aunt. I had one adoptee who was matched with her mother. And another who was matched with a first cousin, and so on and so forth. And siblings, half-siblings. We get all a whole range of matches. Anything second cousin or closer, I can help. I or another genealogist can help, and what we do is we basically put together a family tree, for example, for a second cousin going back to at least great-grandparents, because technically if you're a second cousin, you share great-grandparents. First cousins share grandparents, etc. So we flesh out this family tree, and then we bring it forward. We fill in all the branches and leaves until we find the most likely person to be the mother or father. And there are some DNA experts who say they can do it with third and more distant cousin, but I can't. It's just too technical and time-consuming for me.
Wow.
There's also several groups on Yahoo, and I do recommend on my webpage, I do recommend, for example, Cece Moore, who is the recognized genealogical geneticist and she has a blog, and she runs a group on Yahoo called DNA Newbie, and then there's Adoption DNA and DNA Adoption on Yahoo groups, who will all help you sort out. And I tell people, be kind to yourself. This is rocket science. And, you know, and people, you can't walk into calculus class on the first day and expect a doctorate, you know. So be kind to yourself and work with your frustration and your inability to comprehend and understand that it's a long, steep learning curve, but you'll get there.
Right, you know, I really appreciate you saying that. You know, be kind to yourself and you know, kind of celebrate the process.
Yeah.
Because it really is, you know, when I got my DNA report back, I was a little bit confused. And, you know, in some ways I was like, oh, I thought I would get more information than I did, right? That was one thing that bubbled up for me. And then it was like, oh, how do I read, comprehend, and understand everything that there is for me to embrace on this one? And then how do I start building my family tree? And, you know, I really appreciate when you shared about filling in the leaves and the branches and how a search angel can really help in that process.
Well,
and,
actually,
you know, that is an area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Any genealogist can help. And, you know, there are LDS Church has family history centers in most towns, and they will help you for no charge, I believe, to work on your genealogy and fill out your family tree. And then also most counties have a genealogical society which give seminars on how to do genealogy. And Ancestry offers the family tree genealogy program that you can load up into your computer and organize all your data and your ancestors and print reports, and it's really exciting. I encourage everyone to do that, whether they're searching for family or not. Genealogy is so rewarding.
Absolutely, because we all come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And, you know, I think that's the one question that many adoptees face on a regular basis is, you know, who am I? Where did I come from? And is there anybody out there that looks at me, looks like me?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that, you know, through the DNA testing, through all the different search engines that there are where we can gather information, you know, it's such a huge gift to our community to be able to do that. And, you know, even those who could be listening in, whose life hasn't been intimately touched by adoption, do some DNA testing. Throw your DNA into the ring, because it's going to help the world at large stay more connected. You know, they say there's a sixth degree, and it's getting lower every day, degree of separation between us.
Oh, absolutely.
And, you know, right, the more people that test and step into that arena, the more information each one of us will have. Because
and
that
we
is
have
definitely a hunger that we all have, is that connection. And, you know, you were saying that you are a genealogy junkie, right? And I'm a connection junkie.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And, you know, you're a reunion junkie. And I love connection, and I love reunion as well. And, you know, that's definitely a gift that we can give each other on this planet.
You know, there are a lot of people who are true foundlings. They were left on a street corner, or left in a car, or left at the hospital, and they truly have no information whatsoever. While they are technically adoptees, they're truly foundlings, and so
mm-hmm.
we're finding now that DNA is helping them.
Absolutely, and you know, I really, really appreciate you bringing that up. And you know, if you could share in your experience, Priscilla, you know, all of these tools, and the reunions are wonderful, and, you know, getting all of this information is so vital to us as we seek to find out more of our identity. What do you think holds people back from searching?
Artificial fears that have been implanted by the adoption industry, unfortunately.
Tell us more about that.
Well, if you go on my website, you'll see that I've done a blog called Why Isn't My Mother Looking for Me? I've heard that so often from adoptees. They're heartbroken. If my mother really cared about me, if she didn't want to let me go, why isn't she looking for me? I'm on all the registries, and no one is looking for me. So I try to help people understand that the mothers have been instilled with so many fears, and they're artificial fears. For example, we're afraid that our children have never been told they were adopted. We're afraid that they don't need us. We're afraid that they're angry with us. So many of these fears. Another big one is I'm not good enough. I'm too fat. I have a substance abuse or dysfunction problem that I don't want anybody to know about. My son or daughter will be ashamed of me. They won't want to know me. There's so many fears that bubble up, and for adoptees as well. My mother threw me away. And interestingly, it's worse, it seems, in male adoptees than it is in female adoptees. I don't know if I'm sure you are familiar with Nancy Verrier's work, The Primal Wound, talking about the trauma that is actually dealt to an infant being removed from their mother at such a young age. And it seems, for some reason, that it affects males more by being taken away from their mother. And they are reticent to search because they have this lingering anger almost, and the source of this hurt is their mother, and therefore they take this anger out on the mother. I'm seeing more and more men come forward, and I can say in the last 7 years, it used to be about one male adoptee for every 9 females, say about 10%, and now it's inching up to 50%. So I am very heartened that we're getting the message out there that 95% of the mothers are happy to be found to one degree or another, and the very, very few that do not want contact, we can work with it. We can work around it. One of my favorite sayings that I ask everyone to remember, the only guarantee in adoption reunion is the ability to say I know instead of I wonder. Otherwise, how difficult is it for all of us to maintain relationships with people that are in our lives every day? And then you can compound that with basically total strangers. We like to call each other beloved strangers. We are indelibly linked by this golden thread of mother and child, but yet we're strangers. And so things happen. Not all reunions progress happily down the rose garden, but at least you know. And other relationships can be forged. For example, if a mother rejects a child, a son or daughter, we usually find a kind aunt or a grandparent or a sibling who can welcome the adoptee and forge a relationship.
Ooh, and that's so incredibly important, and that's, you know, just a beautiful reminder that, you know, when you share that 95% are pretty happy to be found at some level, and that, you know, the 5% maybe that aren't, there is somebody in that world, in that family unit, that will be very grateful to be able to make that connection. And that's where that hope falls in, isn't it, Priscilla? And, you know, I can see how that would be a very big challenge and a fear. You know, you shared that fear and anger and different hurts can really be a stumbling block, or it can hold others back from searching.
Yes.
Right, debilitating, right? It's kind of that paralysis that can totally come in and keep us stuck. And, you know, that's not a place where any of us want to live, is in a place of being incredibly stuck in our relationships or in our forward movement, just even in life. And it really can prevent us from living that legacy that we want to leave. It can prevent us from walking our talk. It can prevent us from really healthy and whole relationships. And so the work that you do really does, it opens up a whole new world for people. And
it
offers up, right, it offers up an opportunity to really embrace our entire stories as opposed to living in a fragmented place of not having all of those threads connected.
Now, you bring up another good point, is that is the equality, the respect, and the justice that must be extended to adoptees. You know, a lot of people aren't aware that adoptees' birth certificates are sealed in 40 states. There's only a handful, you know, 10 or so states where an adoptee can get, in some measure, their original birth certificate, their original birth information. So that is so important to empower adopted people to demand the respect to which they're entitled of complete knowledge about their own personal lives, their identity, their family history, their heritage. And so that's a big part of what I do, too. Every morning is basically devoted to adoptee rights activism, and, you know, I contact legislators and write letters and whatnot to encourage all states to restore original birth certificates to adult adoptees. And a lot of people, for example, Illinois opened their birth certificates for adult adoptees 3 years ago. They got 10,000 requests. And that tells me there's not 10,000 adoptees from Illinois out there searching, maybe a fraction of that, because that tells me that people, they're reticent to search because the power, the control of their search, of their lives, is taken out of their hands and placed in a government entity. So everyone should have an access to their own birth certificate, and then in the privacy of their own lives and their own home, it's up to them to decide what to do with it, whether they want to search, contact, whatever.
Absolutely. I so agree, and it is a travesty, and I'm so excited to see the forward movement for adoptee rights and to open up the records. You know, it's moving through states now, and we are seeing some victory in that area, and so much more work needs to be done to do that, because it is, you know, it's certainly a human rights issue.
Yes.
And it's so incredibly important. You know, I was really privileged. I was able to get a copy of my original birth certificate because my first mom requested it, and she went and got it for me. And you know, how grateful was I?
Oh, I did
to be
for
able
my
to
daughter
have that
too,
in
Arizona.
Hand.
Yeah,
beautiful. And it's such
but
a gift.
But actually, there
you
are some states where the mother can't even get it.
Exactly. And I have spoken with some of those moms who are incredibly frustrated with that fact that even though I want to get it, I can't even get it. And that is just a real unfortunate, huge unfortunate piece within our world. And you know, thank you for the work that you also do in that arena, because it's so incredibly important. And, you know, you've really helped dispel a myth that some people really hold to, that it's really not important for us to get our information.
Oh.
And, you know, that is a belief system for some, and that we should just be grateful. And history always has to start somewhere, and so why search? And I think you have helped so much today to raise that awareness on the importance and the value of finding the information that we are so, you know, that has been held back from us for so many years. And that we can step into that with confidence by working with a search angel such as yourself. And, you know, I'm sure there's some questions out there that our listeners have, and I don't know one question that I have that I have been wanting to ask you is, what does it take to become a search angel? Say somebody is listening right now, Priscilla, and they're going, wow, I have benefited from somebody helping me, or my goodness, maybe this is my life purpose or mission, is to help others. And so if somebody has that desire, what steps do they take to become a search angel themselves?
Well, we would love that. I would love to encourage other search angels to come forward. So please, yes, contact me. If you have the desire to help people find themselves, to fulfill their journey of self-discovery, it takes a computer. Everything we do now is on the computer. I never have to leave my house anymore. It takes about, I'm estimating about $600 a year in membership fees in the various public records databases that I have to have. It takes a skill of knowing where to look, and I'm very happy to impart that knowledge on for anyone who wants to learn. It helps if you have some background in genealogy, because you've got the searching skills. You know the places to look and what to look for. And even if you just do, I have some search angel sisters who just do, and brothers, I shouldn't say it's all, not all females, they just do maybe one or two cases a year. They have to work full time, so certainly I have the leisure of being retired, and so my day is completely dedicated to this work. So please contact me, and I would love to invite you into the fold of Search Angels.
Thank you for that lovely invitation. And I do want to encourage you, if this has poked your heart and softened your ear and your mind to this message of a search angel, I encourage you to reach out to Priscilla Stone. And Priscilla, please share your contact information with us again so people will know how to get a hold of you.
Sure. Well, my website again is priscillasharp.org, priscillasharp.org. I have a Facebook page, Priscilla Stone Sharp Adoption Search Angel. And my email is priscillasharp@comcast.net. I love to talk on the phone. So this is fun for me too. So please, we can arrange to have a phone chat if they'd like. And yep, I'm here.
Excellent. Thank you. And I am Leanne Parsons, the Walk Your Talk Coach at Legacy Now Lived, and you can find me at thewalkyourtalkcoach.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn and Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. My email is legacynowlived@gmail.com, and I also welcome your connections, questions, thoughts, or comments. If you have folks that you see in your world who are out walking their talk and living their legacy, please reach out to me and let me know about them so I can bring them on my show and share their story and message with the world. You know, it is such a privilege to be able to come before you. I thank you so much for your listenership and sharing my journey with me as I continue to boldly try to walk out my talk every day and live the life that I was created to live without fear or insecurity, and I encourage each one of you to do the same. Priscilla, what closing thoughts do you have for those of us who either desire to search or maybe are still having questions or thoughts regarding this area?
Well, just keep hope. Just keep up the hope that if it's something that you want, and if you're a person of faith, pray. Meditate, follow your heart, and know that it's your right. It is your right, the same as everyone else.
I love that. I love that because the label that so many of us can put on us is different than that. And thank you for that beautiful reminder that we do have hope and we do have a creator who loves us deeply, who is all about connection and who is all about family and who is all about that love thread, that golden thread that you talked about and, you know, what God has joined together. Let no man put us under. I leave you with that thought here on this beautiful July day. I pray for each one of you, freedom, independence, courage, and connection. Until next time, I thank you so much for joining us, and I really encourage you to start living the legacy today you want to leave for tomorrow. God bless, and happy 4th of July.